From the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the player's eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, Tim Mastay. Of course, the Packers coming off a big win over the Bears. How big was that win for you guys to get the first one of the season?
Well, first win is always big. Do it against the Bears, a division opponent, get off to a 1-0 start in the division. It was big to do it at home. It was very nice. So it was a big win for us, an important win, and hopefully we can keep stacking them.
Now everybody's talking about it. 4th and 26, the fate field goal. Coach McCarthy says he's been working on this thing for 2 to 3 years. How many times did you guys work on that during practice over the years?
Yeah, so we've been – I know this year it was our main fate field that we've been practicing on. So started in training camp, working on it regularly, and then carried it over into the regular season, and we dialed it in a lot leading up to the Bears game.
Okay, put me on the field. 4th and 26, they make the call.
Yeah, well,
what's going through your mind?
I tell you what, actually, before the game, Sean Slocum came up to me and told me, you know, hey, Tim, Mike really likes this fake. I think there's a good chance we're going to run this thing. And so I said, you know, okay, great, sounds awesome. So he's like, I need you on third down. I need you to be up there a little bit earlier than normal so that you get the call. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. So every time up until that point that we got in that range on that in that down situation, I was up there early, except that one, because I was getting an extra snap from Brett because I'm like, shoot, it's 3rd and 26 or whatever it was, and 3rd and real long, and then it goes to 4th and 26. So I'm not expecting to hear the fake call going on in the field.
So let me guess, you were running off.
So I'm jogging on the field when I get the call. Coach says it, and then it was just a little bit of surprise and then just excitement because you don't get to run those plays very often. So we were really looking forward to it. We really believed in the play.
Take me into that huddle. Who makes the call and what's going through everybody's eyes?
Yeah, so the call came from the sideline, and then it was just up to me to make sure the Bears were in a favorable look for the play. So I just checked that out real quick. They were in a favorable look, and then it was just a matter of catching it, setting it down. Tom comes off, pop it, and Don pulled around and blocked well, and then Tom got in the end zone.
First punter in 40 years to throw a touchdown pass. I mean, did you tell him you better hold on to this thing?
Hey, I bet. Well, it was fun to do it with Tom. Tom's a good friend of mine and roommate in training camp, roommate on the road. So that was a fun connection. And yeah, it's awesome. Like, you get a 27-yard pass. All I did was dump a little 4-yard pitch to him. So a good play, and he made a good run.
They called it a pass. I'm calling it a pitch.
Hey, Well, it's on the stats as a pass, though.
Okay.
So,
yeah. When you went to the sideline after you guys scored, was everybody just going crazy for you guys?
I think it was a real big
momentum changer.
Yeah, momentum changer, energy lift on the sideline. Just a really exciting place. I mean, or play. You heard the place go crazy. So yeah, definitely a big play in the game.
Because your offense was struggling at a point in time in that game, and for you guys to come up with that play. And how about the coach to go ahead and make that call? Well, that's a gutsy call.
That's a really gutsy call. So my hat's off to Coach for making it. And you know, thankfully we executed it well.
And getting that win across for the Lambeau Field, I mean, in front of the fans, had to be awesome too. Just to beat the Bears, it's something that feels good.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the Bears is always a special win. Having lost at home the week before, we really wanted to win one there at home the next week. So, big win.
A lot of fans were upset after that first loss, but they got to remember San Francisco was a pretty good team. But, of course, they got to remember you can't win every week.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, the fans are coming off watching us go 15-1 last year, so it was probably a little bit of a surprise. We certainly expected to win, didn't get it done that week. But it's a long season. There was no panic whatsoever. Come back and beat Chicago, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Yeah, how much fun are you having being a punter for the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I bet it is a lot of fun
punting. It's just being a part of this organization is a lot of fun. And then you've got a great special teams group. Kicker and snapper are good friends of mine. A lot of fun to play with. Great relationship with Sean and Chad. So it's a lot of fun.
All right. He's Tim Mastay, and I'm Rod Burke for Inside the Huddle. We'll be back with more with this guy right here, right after the break. And welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside Tim Mastay. Of course, we got more with this guy. Now, let's take me into what it's like being you on game day when you're out there waiting for that ball to come in a situation, a special team situation, because you got someone like Devin Hester down there. You always seem to have big games against the Bears. For you, it's like, is it me against him?
It's definitely true. The Bears games are my favorite games. I get the most energized for those games. And as far as a game day operation for me, being on the sideline and going on the field, all that, what I've learned for myself is I have to just think about a few different things that I can control. So the whole game, I'm basically doing two things. I'm managing my legs to keep them fresh and ready, and I'm managing my mind to make sure I'm just thinking about my steps or my drop, or there's just one or two cues that I have. And so when I'm playing a guy like Devin, I certainly know that's who's returning the ball.
The best in the game.
The mental challenge for me is to not think about that, because it doesn't have anything to do with the strike of the ball.
But you definitely want to neutralize that guy, because
he's the
best in the game. And so how do you do that?
So you have a plan. And really this is true with basically any returner, but it's especially true with a guy like Devin, is you want to limit the amount of space he has from the time when he catches the ball. You don't want there to be a lot of green in front of him where he can, you know, make decisions and get upfield. So, you know, you can do that through hang time, direction. Hopefully you can maximize both those. And then you do it with great coverage. I mean, it's certainly a team sport, and that's no different for me as a punter or punt team. I mean, you look at it was the second or third punt in that game. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Might have even been the fourth. But hit a long ball right on the sideline. Decent hang, but not huge hang. So he's got a little space in front of him.
Right.
And John Kuhn makes an awesome play getting downfield and blows him up. So, and then the last punt, same thing. Kind of a, you know, decent punt, and our guys get downfield. I think it was Rod Francois makes a great play. So that's what it is. It's limiting the space the returner's got, covering great.
Now let's knock on wood when we do this one. You've never had a punt blocked. Okay, but you've never had one blocked. What is the key to not having one blocked? And it got a little crazy against Tampa Bay because it was almost like you were going to get blocked. The athlete that you were able to get out of the pocket.
Right. So, yes, we haven't had one blocked. But and that's just a function of a few things. I mean, it's a function of great coverage. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, great protection.
Take a look at that. You remember that play, right?
I remember this. Let's not watch that part. it was a first down.
But you didn't even hold on to the ball.
It was about as bad a ball scare as you could have. It's a function of Brett snapping the ball well so that my timing with him, his timing and my timing are efficient. And then it's about having great protection. And John does an awesome job as the fullback making the adjustments and filling the holes that come through. And then our guys have great width and protect very well. So that's a tribute to mostly to those guys, all the guys in front of me and Coach Slocum.
Yeah, you guys have a great operation. Now, Seattle, they blocked the punt.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, they blocked the punt and ran it back for a touchdown. So you got to make sure that operation is running great against Seattle.
Absolutely. So every opponent's going to give you some rush looks. Some teams do it at different points of the game, different parts of the field. So you got to be aware of when that is. Yeah, there it is. And so we'll have to be very focused. I mean, every week it takes that because you're always vulnerable. To some degree, you have to be able to protect.
And I think a lot of people really don't realize it, but you do a lot as far as helping out Mason Crosby. I mean, he's been huge the last couple of years on holding that ball. It takes a lot of concentration doing that. Can you take us inside to what it's like doing that, waiting for the ball to come down and place it just right for Mason?
Well, Mason's kind to me. I think he definitely has the tougher job by far, so he makes it sound like I help him a lot.
Yeah, but he's a little bit picky about
his
snap.
Maybe I do, yeah. But all I know is Brett and I take a lot of pride in trying to help Mason out as much, give him as good a chance to make the kick as possible. So that's a function of Brett throwing me good laces, which he does all the time. And then it's a function of me getting the ball down on the spot quickly. So that's what we're always practicing. We want Mason to be able to see that ball for a long enough period of time and have it in the spot he wants it.
All right, he's Tim Mastay, and I'm Rod Burks. We're going to have more with him coming up right after this break. Welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks. This guy, Tim Mastay, he can really boot him on game day. Tim, it had to be great and really awesome for the Packers to come up there and say, you are going to be our punter. Here is a big contract. You signed a big deal this year. What was that like for you to just sign that dotted line and say, I have security for me, my wife, and my little one?
Yeah, it was just really, really exciting. I mean, this is where I wanted to be. This is where I truthfully, this is where I'd love to play my entire career.
Right.
I think the Packers knew that, and I was blown away and really grateful to know that they wanted me to be
humbled.
Here, too. So it is, absolutely. To get to play with these guys for this organization is really special, and I hope I can keep doing it for a long time.
The coolest thing you bought when you deposited the check?
Truthfully, the coolest thing I bought was putting a big chunk of money into a college fund for my little baby girl, because it was basically, boom, college is paid for her now. So that was a really cool moment.
That's some good thinking. That is some really good thinking. Now let's talk about, you didn't even play this game until you were a junior in high school. A lot of these guys are playing since Little League,
right?
Seventh, eighth grade. Who got you on the field, and how do you make it to the league when you've only played since you were a junior?
Yeah, so I was like a lot of little boys dreaming of playing pro sports, but I didn't dream of playing pro football. That was never really on my radar. Good buddy in high school. Was like the star offensive tackle for our high school team, and he had kind of talked to me a little bit about it over the years, finally talked me into going out for the team. Head coach did as well, and got me a full scholarship to play college ball, and then college ball led to this. So
I mean, you had to work quick.
Football's been good, yeah.
I mean, you had to work quick to get into the league. I mean, this is pretty – you had to pinch yourself. You wake up, it's like, do I really have this contract? Am I really playing for the Green Bay Packers? I have a Super Bowl ring.
I do that pretty much every day. You're exactly right. It is it's wild. I kicked balls my whole life because I played soccer my whole life. And I guess had enough potential to get a scholarship offer. And then, yeah, to be doing this now, it is like, exactly like I said, it blows my mind all the time.
Hey, what do you like to do outside of football? I mean, I know you don't want to be talking football 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. What do you like to do outside?
Yeah, so I'm fairly low-key. I like...
You seem like a low-key guy.
Well, I am a little bit. So I like reading, I like watching movies, I like just hanging out with my wife and little baby, and like hanging out with friends. I like to golf. I'm big into fitness, so I like working out. So that's part of my job, but really it's kind of like a hobby too. So any of that stuff's a lot of fun. Go visit family. Love to travel when I get a chance to. So that's...
You know, I thought was interesting, your dad is a chemistry teacher, right? He's got his doctorate degree. And
yeah.
His son gets a C in chemistry.
No, that was always...
In high school. How does that happen?
He always gave me a hard time for that, because that is... I had one C in high school. And it's like you said, my dad's a chair of the chemistry department at the University of Dayton. And I made one C in high school, and it was chemistry. So, go figure. I don't know. I was never really into it. Maybe I don't know. I just never got the hang of it.
All right. He's Tim Mastay, and I'm Rod Burks. Thank you for coming by this
Absolutely.
Week. And we'll have Tyler Dunn of the Journal Sentinel coming up right after this break. Inside Lambeau. I'm alongside Tyler Dunn of the Journal Sentinel, making his first appearance on Inside Lambeau. Folks, this guy is going to bring it. Let's go ahead and start talking Packers. We're going to start you out talking with their win over the Chicago Bears. Right. Everybody seems to be talking about Aaron Rodgers yapping at James Jones. At the heat of the moment, Jones, I guess, ran the wrong pattern, turned an interception. These guys are getting heated on the football field. What's your take on it?
I think we live in an overly sensitive, politically correct society, Rod. I mean,
yes.
This is football. We're not talking about shuffleboard or bocce ball here. Guys are going to get upset with each other. As you see on the screen here, I mean, James Jones just ran a bad route. He didn't flatten it out, and it led to a big interception. I mean, that play could have really changed the game in a big way. The Bears scored a touchdown. It was 23-10. And you see the anger with Aaron Rodgers. So they talked about it after the game, and James Jones said there was no need to apologize, and Rodgers did. I really do think it's kind of water under the bridge at this point, not that big of an issue.
It's water under the bridge till tomorrow when Aaron Rodgers talks, right?
Right.
But let's talk, but you know, the heat of the moment, that happens, though. It's a part of the game. I mean, Jay Cutler pushed his lineman.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the fastest, strongest, most violent men on the planet. This is going to happen. Emotions are going to boil over at points. And Aaron Rodgers is the leader of the team. And talking to some receivers in that locker room, they said, hey, we want that. If we make a mistake, we want to know that we made a mistake. So I think you're going to see that in Aaron Rodgers, and he's smart too.
Right.
If a rookie makes that mistake, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers jumps all over him like he did with James Jones.
Yeah, and let's talk about that Packers offense. Still waiting for that big play, a few near misses.
Right.
You know, Jordy Nelson is a target that was big last year for the Packers. You know, Rodgers hit him a lot. They haven't had those
big plays yet, and they're already in, you know, heading into week three.
And they're frustrated by that. Last year, how many times did you see a 40 or 50-yard reception just really open the floodgates for this offense? So that was really big for them. And it's a product of that two-deep shell they're seeing out of defenses. They're sitting back with two safeties, and it's really forcing the Packers to be patient. And to be patient, you have to run the football with Cedric Benson.
So you're saying that the teams look at the Packers' record. They went 15-1. They're playing them different. As they were bringing their safeties back, they're playing them different because actually San Francisco gave them a blueprint on how you play the Packers.
I think so, and I think you saw that blueprint begin last year with the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Giants. I mean, they were able to cover really, really well with their corners underneath and sit back with those two safeties and just take away the big play. Look, if you can make an Aaron Rodgers, a Drew Brees, or a Tom Brady go 8, 9, 10 plays to score a touchdown, your odds are pretty good. So that's the battle, that's the challenge they have right now. And really they have to rely on Cedric Benson to force teams to go back to those one safety looks.
Yeah, Cedric Benson, you know he's got to feel good. Near misses as far as the receivers, but he came up, played big. He had some nice yards on the ground, and he caught the ball out of the backfield. He's really helping this team out.
And you saw Cedric Benson as that volume back. I mean, he needs the ball a good 20 times a game to get going. At Cincinnati, in 48 of the starts, he had 20 carries or more. 22 times. It's what he's used to. That's what he's accustomed to. The first day he talked to the media, he said he still wanted to be a 1,000-yard back, and we all kind of looked at him like he was delusional. I think right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay started leaning on this running game. Until that offense, until that passing game really gets clicking, you might as well lean on Benson a little bit. They might get James Starks back in a week or two, so you could have two backs to really feed the ball.
I think it's a big surprise that they gave the ball to him that many times, 20 times in a game, and the fact that they went to the running game, because we all know Mike McCarthy likes to throw the ball.
He does. I mean, and that's Mike McCarthy's MO. So that's why it can be tough at times, even against the Bears. There were times when he did kind of stray away from Cedric Benson. So that's the challenge that they face.
All right. He's Tyler Dunn, and I'm Rod Burks. And we got more of this guy coming back after the break. And welcome back to Inside Lambo. I'm alongside Tyler Dunn. Brought it the last segment. Going to bring it again. Are you bringing it like Clay Matthews, though? I mean, because this guy is in beast mode right now.
Yeah.
He's got 6 sacks after 2 games. What were the Bears thinking? I mean, not giving Webb any help.
Yeah, you're right. They only double-teamed him about 40% of the time in that second game. I don't know who should be held responsible for that, but when you leave Clay Matthews in one-on-one situations, this is what you're going to see. The floodgates are just going to open up like they did. And last year, he didn't have a bad season last year, but the sacks just weren't there. He had pressure. He had as many pressures as really any outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. But now this year, he has help. He has guys in Eric Walden, Nick Perry, Jarrell Worthy, Mike Daniels, some other players who can really collapse the pocket. So that's really going to help Clay Matthews, and that's the key to him keeping this up because he's going to see more double teams.
What's better, the sacks or the flair after the sack? I mean, he's got the best. He's got the best thing going.
Right. He was counting those sacks to Jay Cutler there too. So, right, he's got a good celebration, and we're going to see what happens because can those other guys keep it up? Things are going to change a little bit from what he sees probably.
One thing about him that helps him out is motor never stops, but it also helps out the secondary. You got Tremont Williams with 2 picks and Charles Woodson. Like you said, the same old Jay. How much does it help out the secondary when you're getting a pass rush like that?
I think the common denominator for this defense as a whole is getting a pass rush because they were able to really tilt a lot of attention toward Brandon Marshall, Chicago's number one wide receiver. They had Tremont Williams on him, and they gave Tremont help over the top with Morgan Burnett. And also, don't discredit Sam Shields.
I'm a big Sam Shields guy.
Right, and he was able to take on Alshon Jeffrey one-on-one most of the game. Dom Capers made a point to bring that up. Sam Shields had his struggles last year, a ton of missed tackles. That was a big emphasis for him. He has really come through in his own as a number two cornerback for Green Bay.
And how much does it help that 38 is back to himself? Because last year he played with that injured shoulder. I don't think people realize how hurt this guy was.
Right. We talked in the offseason all about that, and he admitted, look, that nerve damage in his shoulder forced him to change his game completely. He shied away from piles. He wasn't able to get in receivers' faces like he did in 2010 when he really was one of the best shutdown corners in the game. To get him back playing this way is big for Green Bay.
And now that whole defense is going to be coming up against a former Badger, and Russell Wilson got his first win.
Right.
What are they going to see? How difficult and how are they going to game plan against Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, 38? Because, you know, I mean, they always say he's short in stature, but he makes plays.
I think Seattle's going to approach this game a lot like San Francisco did. They need to win with their running game and with defense and with special teams. So Russell Wilson just has to kind of manage the game. I think he was 15 of 20 against Dallas. So expect him to be in those situations, but he can make plays too. As everybody in the state knows, Russell Wilson can make plays. Warren Moon, who does the play-by-play commentary, for Seattle and their radio station, obviously a Hall of Fame quarterback, 9-time Pro Bowler. He said that Russell Wilson's the most impressive quarterback he's seen come into the game in a long time. I think that speaks volumes.
Is this the week that the Packers offense gets on track that makes that big play?
I don't know. I think they still have to rely on that running game. I think Benson's going to play a big role this week. They want to get that going. They need that big play to kind of force defenses to change things up. But for this week, I think it might be another grinded out type of game.
We got about 15 seconds left. JerMichael Finley.
You know what? JerMichael Finley is going to be JerMichael Finley, and I think eventually he does kind of break out of this rut.
All right, he's Tyler Dunn, and I'm Rod Burks. Thank you for watching Inside Lambeau. That's it for this week. We out.